We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, do you have any debt today?
2 weeks.
Excuse me?
With all the credit cards that we're offered these days, you know, they come in the mail. We have infinite opportunities to get credit and get into all kinds of trouble.
We need a debt snowball.
Oh, gosh. Debts, oh. Mm-hmm.
Gazelle-like intensity.
Hey, what's in your wallet?
Get ready for Pastor Chris.
Our youth pastor made that. I think sometimes they make it to see if I can get up and preach after that. All right. But seriously, we're talking about money, and you need a good laugh when you're talking about money. Things can get so tense. Things can get so serious. In fact, it worries me to death. I see some people that aren't here today, and I'm like, oh my gosh, are they not here because we talked about money? That could be, but regardless of what's going on here today, God wants your finances to be blessed. I stand beside that 100%, and in order for you to find that blessing, you need to not freak out like the lady with the exploding head in Total Recall, the Arnold Schwarzenegger version. All right. Happy Palm Sunday, everyone. It's Palm Sunday. Happy Palm Sunday. Look at somebody, say Happy Palm Sunday. Yeah. Palm Sunday is the Sunday before Easter, and it celebrates the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. He comes in as a king, and we know that he is our king, and one day he's going to enter back into this world as king. He's entered into your heart as king, and that's what this day is all about. Jesus is triumphant, and I pray he enters your heart today into your mind, into your actions, into everything that makes you. I want Jesus to show up and be king. Do you want that? I want that, all right? Jesus, come be our king today. You're here at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas, if you didn't know that, all right? You're here, and you're either here or you're checking us out online on our internet podcast somewhere in the world, and we welcome you, whether you're in this room or not. We're so glad to have fellowship with you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior, all right? Last week, we kicked off a sermon series called Financial Peace, right? And those are not oxymorons. Those are not opposites or antonyms. Financial peace, that can actually go together. Not that kind of financial peace, Rob. No, we aren't looking for a financial peace. We want you to experience a financial peace, P-E-A-C-E. All right, that one. All right. Last week, we kicked off this series, and if you missed it, I encourage you to check out. You can go to our website, redemption-church.com, and you just search financial peace, and you'll find the videos, the audio, and even sermon notes, everything you need. We talked about stewardship, how God is the giver of everything we have, and he expects us to use and manage what he gives. And that can be real big news to some people. Everything you have comes from God. And if you can ever get that through your head, it makes everything a lot easier. It makes everything a lot more peaceful. It makes everything that you honor that he gave you, if you honor what he's given you, then everything becomes worship. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. God's the giver of everything. And stewardship is when we take the things he's given us and we manage what he's given. When we come under the management of Jesus, we experience peace. And usually it's what we fought all along, but it's what we exactly need. Come under the management of Jesus Christ. We told you that money is personal, that money is powerful, that money is potential, and that money is priority. We told you those things last week. We talked to you about the power of the tithe. We talked to you about the tithe. The tithe is the first 10% of your increase. It's not about the amount you give. It's about the heart. It's about the priority you place God and his command. Remember, there was a widow in the Bible. She just had a little bit. She had a widow's mite, is what's called. And Jesus proclaims that she gave more than anyone else. And everybody looked around and said, no way, a mite isn't, it's less than a penny. It's like a tenth of a penny. Jesus, she didn't give more, but he wasn't looking at the amount. Whatever you put in the offering today, Jesus does not calculate the amount. He doesn't have a calculator out in a spreadsheet and go, carry the one and five. Oh, they're missing about 50 cents. They're 50 cents short. No, he is looking at the heart. He looked at the heart of the widow. He looks at your heart. When you worship today, he looked at your heart. When you came to church today, you tried to put on really nice clothes, but he wasn't looking at your clothes. He's always been looking at your, help me, heart. That's what he's looking at, all right? Malachi 3 says some strong things about tithing. It uses the words blessing and cursing. All right, I got some texts this week on that from Malachi 3 that really interests some people. Blessing and cursing. Who wants to live under curses? Anyone? Bring that hand down. No. You want to live under blessing. Am I right? Raise your hand if you want to live under blessing. All right, that's what God wants you to do. When you are living under God's financial plan, there is blessing. And there is also peace. And there's also abundance. And there's also everything you need. There are miracles. The Bible says in Malachi 3 that he rebukes the devourer for your sake. This happens when you live under his management. But when you are living under the world's financial plan, when the Bible talks about curses, what is cursed? What has come under the curse? Everything since the fall of man, right? And what's not under the curse? Everything that's under Jesus Christ. So do you want to live by the world's financial management? That comes under the curse. Or do you want to line up under Jesus Christ where all spiritual blessing flows? That's really awesome that we get to line up under Jesus Christ. By the way, when you operate under the world's financial plan, you're operating under that cursed system. And what is that system filled with? We complain about it all the time. Greed, fear, materialism, stress. That's that financial system. So let's get things straight. It is good to come under God's plan. Amen? God's financial plan is to be happy with less. To be happy. Number one, it's just shocking for people to be happy anymore. If people walk around and they aren't angry and they aren't shouting at the car next to them and they're actually happy, people are like, they are on drugs. Come on, you can laugh. It's like there is something going on with those people. No, it's that I'm living under blessing and I'm living under joy and I'm living under peace and I'm living Christ as my King. God's financial plan is to be happy with less, but the world's financial plan is to not be happy until you have more. And once you have more, what do you need? You need more. Once you have the newest smartphone, what do you need? The brand newest smartphone. You're always needing more. One of the most wealthy men who ever lived, his name was Rockefeller. You've heard that name. And they asked him, what is it that drives you? What is it that keeps you up? What is it that is your passion? And he said, to have one more dollar. And he spent the rest of his life having more money than literally we can even imagine and contemplate what it's like to have that money. But he died unhappy. He died unfulfilled. He died filled with stress because he always needed more. In the world system, it's never enough. And you'll never be happy until you have more. And it's just, it's a rat race. It is a hamster wheel. But with Jesus Christ, you can be happy right now. You can be happy today. You could be staring bills in the face, but have peace and have happiness. Can I get a witness in this place that that is true? Anybody, anybody, anybody? Cool, you can make noise at church. It's all right. You clap your hands, say amen. All right. And finally, last week we challenged you to live on less. How backwards is that? Is that anywhere in the world? It's nowhere in the world. but it's in the Word of God. You can go all the way back to the Sabbath. The idea of the Sabbath is to live on one day less of work. And you can look at the tithe. It's to live on 10% less of your income. But to live on less is God's plan. We challenged you last week to live on 70% of your finances. We gave you a 70% challenge. And this change will allow you to do some things. First, it will allow you to give God what he asks for. And to give God what he asks for first, right? Second, it will bring margin between you and debt. You know where debt comes from, right? It comes from you make 100% of your money, but you're living at spending about 100% of your money or 110% of your money or 90% of your money, but then there's a car accident and now you're 110% beyond. There's no margin. That's how people fall into debt. I'm making sense, right? You're with me? And third, it allows you to pay off debt quickly and also save for the future. This will bring peace to your life. I want to encourage you to live on less. Take the 70% challenge. Now today, we are going to talk about, well, let's see if you can figure out what I'm going to talk about. Here it is. Obligation, liability, unsettled score, due, credit, deficit, loan, encumbrance, mortgaged, billed, committed, note, charged, claim, responsibility, payday advance, insufficient funds, default, delinquent, in hoc, in the red, leased, pawned, poverty, baggage, beholden, below the line, borrowed, breach, cuffed, handcuffed, deduction, dead horse, expense, fault, in the hole, dire straits, invoice, due date, lien, claim, in need, outstanding, owing, payable, out of the pocket, price tag, red ink, scratch, negative, penalty, bankrupt, Title 11, underwater, hard times, insolvency, tapped out, stretched, strapped, poor, poorer than a church mouse, robbing Peter to pay Paul, robbing Peter to pay Ringo, upside down, foreclosed, I owe you, I own my soul to the company store. What are we talking about today? Good job. We're talking about debt. Did you get that, Mark? Do I need to do all that again? All right. Obligate, kidding. All right. Today, we're talking about something essential to the subject of financial peace. We're talking about debt. Some things I probably don't need you to convince you about. All right. Let's look at some of those. Here's one. Debt is stressful. Do I need to spend time convincing you of that? Debt is stressful. How about this one? It's easy to fall in debt. Everybody tracking with me so far? It's easy to fall in debt. How about this? It is difficult to climb out of debt. It is so much easier to fall into debt than to climb out of it. How about this one? It's better to be out of debt. Would you agree? Yeah. Great. Cool. Let's dismiss. No, we've got more to talk to you about. Those are some things I don't really need to convince you about, but there are some things I might have difficulty convincing you of today. All right? There are some myths we believe in the area of debt, and we're going to attack them head on. Let's look at some of these myths. Myth one, debt is necessary. Debt is necessary. We are living in the day and age where the United States population is 320 million, but the national debt is 18 trillion. Just think about that for a moment. 320 million, but the national debt is 18 trillion. So you got your millions, right? You got nine figures there. You got billions. You got 12 figures there. You have got trillions. From billions to trillions, now you got 15 figures, all right? That is such a huge gulf. To only have 320 million people, we have 18 trillion debt. Debt per citizen is $56,000. You know what? If all the citizens of the United States could just fork over $56,000, then our government would be squared away. Let's all do that, right? $56,000, $112,000 plus, it's crazy. We'd have to give $1 million in here. Our whole world is fixated on debt here in the United States. All right, moving on. It doesn't matter who we have in office. And some people are really big on that. Jesus wants you to vote Democrat. Jesus wants you to vote Republican. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter who you have in office, Democrat, Republican, or some other third thing. They all operate like debt is necessary. All of them. And the average student, let's talk about students. Congratulations to the class of 2014 graduating college, because they, you know, they graduated college with a $33,000 student loan debt. That's the average for those that graduated in 2014. The national student debt all combined is $1.3 trillion. We got a debt problem, don't we? We got a debt problem. And the problem is we think it's necessary. We think that debt is necessary. In fact, the whole school system's like this. Go to school to get a full future, but mortgage your future to go to school. And it's just a necessary evil. It's what you have to do. You have to get a student loan. That's what the myth says. Those are big arguments in our nation. There are big arguments in our nation over the subject of student loans. Many people think the government needs to step in and make it easier to pay for school. I can appreciate that. But how can a government that has not been a good financial steward of our tax dollar already help the situation? I suggest we stop operating under the myth that debt is necessary, that student loans are necessary, that car loans are necessary, that credit cards are necessary, that credit scores are necessary. Credit scores, they drive me crazy. All those credit score commercials, do not call those numbers. Do not call those numbers. Don't do it, all right? Here is what is necessary. I'm going to tell you what's necessary. Saving is necessary. Saving is necessary. Instead of entering into debt because we need money now. Somebody say now. That's why we enter into debt, because we need money now. Instead of entering into a school loan because we need money for tuition next week. Instead of entering into a car loan because we need a car now that our car is broken. You see, we're caught off guard by the urgent, by the now, because our lives have not focused on what is important. I want to talk to you real quick about the urgent and the important. The author of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, his name is Stephen Covey, shares an important idea of the urgent and the important. That book, that one thought alone from that book changed my life. You see, we focus on the urgent at the expense of the important. And this will work in every area of your life. Your company calls you on the phone and it's really urgent. You got to do something, but your little boy is there and he is important. And you have to say, I'm sorry, I told you that we would spend time together and we would go to the park and we would have daddy and son time together, but something urgent is calling. And then next week, that same job fires you, lays you off because you don't fit their financial picture. You see, the urgent will rob you of the important, and this will work in every area of life. We often focus on the urgent at the expense of the important. We pull out our credit card to take care of the urgent. We might be mortgaging our future, and that's important. But this is urgent. You don't understand. Paying off your debt is important, but it doesn't always feel urgent, so you just let that ride along. Changing your life doesn't feel urgent, but it's important. And you don't feel the need to change until you're laying on a hospital gurney, being rolled into the surgical room.
and you're like, oh my gosh, this is urgent. I need to do something. Newsflash, it's important. You should have done it 20 years ago. Now, y'all don't have to say amen, but that's some good preaching right there. So that would be a time where you could say amen. I had to go in debt. You don't understand, preacher. I had to go in debt, and here's why. My car broke down. I had to. The kids needed clothes. I had to go into debt. An emergency happened. These things happened. I had to go into debt. We think this way, that debt is necessary because the urgent hits us like a ton of bricks. But newsflash, and you listen, you learn this, you change your life starting today. You know one day your car is going to break down, right? I don't care if you got your favorite car in the world, a Honda, a Mitsubishi, a Ferrari, whatever car you have, it is going to break down one day. Sadly, if it's American made, it might break down sooner. All right. But this is going to happen. It's going to break down. Who in here has a car that's going to break down one day? It's going to happen. All right. If you don't have a car, the car one day you'll have, it'll break down. You know already that one day you're going to need to buy a newer car, a brand new car or a slightly used car, but a newer to you car. So you either make a debt, you either make debt an urgent, necessary evil, or what if you started saving now for what you know is already coming? Then debt isn't necessary because you're taking care of the important long before the urgent arrives. All right, you know your kids. If you've got kids, you know your kids are growing, right? And if they aren't growing, they are ripping up their clothes. I have a 4-year-old and he's not growing all that quickly, but we can't keep that kid in a pair of jeans because he's all over the floor and there's just holes in his jeans. The boy is holy all over the place. Holy, holy, holy is William Fluitt. All right. You know your kids are growing. You know the pair of pants they own right now is not going to be the last pair of pants you buy them ever. Or your own clothes if you don't have kids, right? You know that school is coming. You know that a job interview is coming. You know that one day you're going to need some new clothes. So don't act like it's an urgent occurrence. See, that's what we have. That's what we do, right? Oh my gosh, school's next week. We have to buy clothes. Credit card. Thank God for this Visa. It's not urgent. It's that you weren't paying attention to the important. You knew it was coming. You could have saved for it. Instead, we chose debt. Am I making sense? And finally, you know that emergencies happen. I hate emergencies. I do not like it when we have to go to emergency rooms. I don't like it when we have emergency calls to the mechanic or to a plumber or to any of these things. I don't like that at all. But let me tell you, they're coming. They're going to happen. They're going to happen. You have to expect the unexpected. So you start saving in advance for something that's important. Don't wait till it's urgent. Start once you realize it's important. Save in advance of the emergency. And then you make debt no longer necessary. That was myth one, that debt is necessary. It's not. Saving is necessary. Myth two, it's just debt. It's just debt. You know, it's just some numbers on a page. I get a little friendly phone call every once in a while, and I get a nice little letter in the mail. You know what? How nice it is to get mail these days. It's just debt. It's just a few $100s. It's no big deal. The Bible says that debt is a big deal. It says it. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And that word servant there could also be translated slave. The borrower, the one with the credit card that slices that credit card, puts in their pin, they're the borrower. And you become slave. You become servant to who? To the lender, to the bank, to the car loan, to the credit card. You become lender. You become the borrower. They're the lender. God's word says that debt is slavery. And this is very literal. Because in the ancient world, if you fell into a debt that you couldn't pay, they would take your kids. They would take you and your family, and you would literally become slaves until you could work off your debt. It's very literal. And so we don't have someone taking you and making you a slave. But let me tell you, it is slavery just the same. When you're in debt, when you get the letters in the mail, when the creditors are calling, when you see a bulk of your paycheck going to Visa and MasterCard, when they start putting lawyers involved, and now you have a due date at a court session, all of this, they're starting to make you do things you don't want to do. You feel very certain at that point, yes, it is slavery. It is slavery. It's not just debt when it robs you of your peace. It's not just debt when it affects your relationships. You know that most divorces cite money problems. It's not just debt when you realize it will take you years to pay off that credit card at 19%. And it's not just debt, it's slavery. How many knows that God wants more for you than slavery? He is the one that saves us from slavery. He calls us his friends and not just servants. So that's myth number two. It's just debt. Don't believe that for a moment. By the way, who really wants you to believe that? The credit card companies, the car loans, everybody that's after your cash wants you to know, oh, it's normal to carry a little bit of debt. Here, take ours. Myth number three, my debt is manageable. And you might be sitting here today, and I really don't want to tick people off. It's just, I'm so good at it, Dwight. I just don't know. But I don't want to make you mad today, but you might be sitting here today, well, I know debt's not good, but my debt is different. My debt is manageable. You know, I know the exact number, and it's just sitting there, and it's not biting me, and we're all right. I don't have that many phone calls. I want to tell you, there were 910,090 U.S. bankruptcy filings in 2014. These are people who had to finally admit that their debt was not manageable. 910,000 families, way different, way altered. Everything came to a halt in their life because they finally had to admit their debt's not manageable. And every one of them, I guarantee you, had regret. Every one of them said, man, why didn't we take care of this back here? 1.1 million properties were foreclosed in 2014. And most of them are houses. Now, how tragic is this? You're seeing children moved out of their homes. You're seeing families uprooted, and now they're scrambling. They might be living with their parents again. They might be finding an apartment, and they're focused on what do I do, and they feel so ashamed, and what do we do? 1.1 million. And they signed those papers and thought, it's debt, but it's a manageable debt. And at the time, it might have been manageable. It might have been a good decision at the time, but something happened along the way. They look back and they say, I wish I would have done something different. Add another 1.1 million. So here's another 1.1 million for properties with default notices. They're on their way to foreclosure. Scheduled auctions. Instead of foreclosing, we're going to try to sell it, and hopefully someone will give us something and we won't be too badly in debt afterwards. And how about this? And bank repossessions. 1.1 plus 1.1 is 2.2 million homes totally eradicated, turned upside down because of debt that wasn't manageable. Be careful with the manageable debt myth. Don't let that be you. I will gladly be the fall guy that you get mad at if it changes your life. Okay? Deal? I want lives changed. I want to see them change. That's myth number three. Myth number four is this. You know, it will take care of itself. That one just sounds dumb even saying it. I go ahead and say it. Look at somebody and say, it'll take care of itself.
Nothing takes care of itself, especially babies. Oh my gosh. It won't take care of itself. It won't do it. God has, number one, God has called you to be a steward. He's called you to manage what he has given you. So it's not going to take care of itself. He's called you to take care of it. Let me tell you, it's not, it is up to you to get out of debt. It is up to you to be a good steward. It's not your bank's job. It's not your credit card's job. It's not your pastor's job. It's your job. It is your job to get the information you need. It is your job to change your life. Pretending like the debt is not there is really bad. It'll take care of itself, but don't we need to talk about it? No, I don't want to talk about it. But don't we need to know how much debt is due? And no, let's just pretend like that's not there. In fact, this letter came in the mail. Let's just not even open that one. They're calling back. Let's not answer the phone. How does this usually work out? Is this a good choice, anyone? No, it's a terrible choice. Pretending like the debt is not there is not going to help you. Most people know they are in debt. It's not news to them. I know I'm in debt. But they don't know how many debts they have. I found this to be true. When talking to somebody, they want to talk, you know, with a pastor. People schedule counseling time, and that's great. We love to counsel over anything, even money. We love to do that. One of the questions is, well, okay, you're in debt. How many debts do you have? And they're like, well, that's something you need to know. Well, how much total debt you have? Have you calculated? No, I haven't calculated that. They have turned a blind eye to the problem. And we can understand why, right? Yeah, absolutely. I can understand why. It's painful to look at that. It does not feel good to look at that. It feels really lousy to tell someone else your deep, dark secret that you're in debt and you don't know if you can pay your bills. It feels awful. I've lived it. I've been there. I remember praying, God, oh God, oh God, please let another 0% credit card come in the mail. You know what? It came in the mail. I don't think it was God. I think it was Visa. It does not feel good to think about debt. It feels shameful. I'm not bringing this up to make you feel shameful. We experience regret, but let me tell you, it's important. We got to do it. We got to change our life. Jesus Christ wants us to change your life. He wants us to be good stewards. You will not accidentally get out of debt. You won't accidentally do most things in life. You won't accidentally get saved. You don't accidentally follow the Bible. You don't accidentally get out of debt. In fact, your credit card company wants you to never get out of debt. You realize that one of the saddest, I can imagine the person that types out these letters. I love to get these letters in the mail. Due to inactivity of your credit card, we have decided to close your account, Mr. Fluitt. I can imagine they just cried over that letter. And I just laugh every time I get one of those letters. I'm like, yes, we don't owe you anything. You best be closing that account. My money is not in your hands anymore. Oh, man, see, I'm used to the other kind of letters. I'm used to the past due letters. I'm used to the final warning letters. I prefer those kind of letters. I want you to receive one of those letters one day, and we'll celebrate together. All right. You don't accidentally get out of debt. Your credit card company wants you to pay the minimum forever. You know this, right? That's what they want. So they can keep charging you percentage. So you can stay their slave. That's what they want. They're not your friend. Absolutely not. Everyone that has ever become debt-free had a moment. Doesn't happen by accident. There is a deliberate moment where they owned the problem. They looked right at it. They stopped saying, it's going to take care of itself. And they said, I got to start doing something I've been doing wrong. It's a moment where they realize it was up to them to change, and they
did. Everybody that's ever gotten out of debt had one of those moments. I want everybody in this room, if you have debt, I want you to have one of those moments today. I want you to have a moment that changes your life, a moment that's not from this preacher, but a moment that's from obeying the word of God and saying yes to Jesus and his plan to come in under his management. Myth number 5, okay? This is the last myth. We're moving right along. Here it is. You know, I'll never dig out of this debt. So what's another charge? Another one of those is, I'll never dig out of this debt, so why pay? Both of those are really bad. Wrong. I want to tell you, wrong, emphatically wrong. I don't care what the number is. I don't care how many bills you have. You can be debt free. And if you don't believe that, you got to talk to me today. I want to convince you. You can be debt free. You don't have to have all that fear anymore. You don't have to have all that worry anymore. You can be blessed. You can be debt free. No more slavery. That is what God wants for you. But you'll have to make some changes to get that done. Do not keep digging a debt called keep digging a hole called debt. Do not put off any longer making changes. Please don't stop paying. Don't do that. And don't keep building a bigger debt pile. It was Albert Einstein who said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Are you living an insane life? Sometimes we live insanity in the area of our finances. I know a lot of Christians that when it came to serving God and worship, they weren't insane at all. They were going hard after God and just loving God and growing in this area. But in this one area, they were absolutely insane in the area of their finances. They kept doing the same thing. They kept doing the same thing. And they kept building up debt, tearing themselves down and feeling terrible. Do you want a better life? You need that moment where you say, I want a better life. Jesus Christ came to give us. What did he come to give? He said, I've come to give you. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant, overflowing, and full. Before Jesus, we did not have any life. But he came and he gave us life. But it is more than just a spiritual life where we go and say, okay, I'm going to heaven, check, and I feel good about myself, check. No, it's an abundance that flows in every area of your life. It'll flow in your family and in your kids. It'll flow in your finances. It will flow in your mind. It will flow in your health. It will flow in your church. It will flow in your city. Wherever you go in 360 degrees, the abundant life that only comes from Jesus wants to flow. Do you want it to flow today? I want it to flow. I want it to flow. I want it to flow. I want to quickly give you 6 debt danger signs. Danger, Will Robinson, danger. If you live on credit and not on cash, you could be headed towards debt. If this card just comes out for everything, you realize when you swipe that card, those numbers just go and you don't even think about it and you just swiped it. And at the end of the day, you could have spent who knows how much money. But if you live on cash, if you go on cash, you see that money go out of your wallet and you are painfully aware at every moment just how much you spent and how much money you have to spend. Living on credit and not cash. How about this one? Delaying payment. Or paying the minimum. If this is you often, if you're constantly calling and saying, I need to delay my payment, I need to delay this, or you're just paying the minimum because that's all you can scrape together, that's a debt danger sign. If you're unable to tithe, if you're unable to save, both of those things, that's a debt danger sign. Unable to pay taxes. And taxes can be really complicated and really difficult. April 16th is coming. It's crazy. If you're self-employed, if you own a business, taxes are even more confusing and you've got all this quarterly stuff. If you get to every quarter and you're unable to pay those taxes, warning, you're on the precipice. You could be falling headfirst into debt. How about this? Extravagant spending.
you might be due well for a while, but then there's these huge weeks where maybe you had a bad week, and for some people, they go shopping when the stress is high. And so you can almost look at how their stress was. They had a $300 stress week. They just ate $300 worth of ice cream. Or, you know, they went and bought all their new clothes on this week. And extravagant spending. If you find yourself doing this, and it's like, whoa, you look at your bank statement one day. Whoa. That's extravagant spending. You got to rein that in, or you could be headed towards that. And then finally, looking for get-rich-quick schemes. If you're looking for those, look out. Number one, there's somebody looking for a sucker, right? It's so cool. There's this prince of Zimbabwe or one of those foreign nations, and he's emailed me. Has he emailed any of y'all? He's got like $1,000 for me if I just give him 20. It's really cool. So quick, get rich, quick schemes. No, there's a sucker a minute. Let me add one more of these. Here's a debt danger sign. If you are always praying for a financial miracle. I believe in miracles. God does miracles. God does miracles gladly. It's not hard for him at all. But if you're always needing a miracle every 2 weeks, at the beginning of the month, if you need a miracle every week and you're calling us saying, I need a miracle, God's got to bail me out. Let me tell you what you really need. God will bail you out. He's wonderful, and you've seen him do it time and time again. But here's what you really need to do, and here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to take what he's given you and start managing it so you don't need constant miracles to survive. Miracles are for survival. You look in the Bible, every time there's a miracle, it's because somebody's life is hanging in the balance. They're about to die. They're about to be destroyed. But here's where success happens in the Bible. It happens when people take what God has given them and they start to manage it. It's when Israel goes from being slaves and they walk in over the Jordan and they go into the promised land and they start to build a life for themselves and they become the nation God has always told them to be. What happened there? Notice all the miracles happen in the wilderness. Management and success came in the promised land. God wants to give you miracles. Don't think I'm against miracles. But here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to be a good steward of what he's given you. He wants you to do that. Okay, I'm going to give you steps for becoming debt-free. And then we'll be coming to a close. I've got a quick video I want you to see of a testimony from someone in this church. But I'm going to give you some steps for becoming debt-free. Last week, we told you that money was personal. And what we really meant by that was it was along the lines that people hold that kind of information close. They don't share it, but it's also personal in another way. Everyone is different, personally different. Your personal finances are different. We have different jobs. We have different bills. We are in different stages of life. So the steps I'm going to give to you, feel free to change them to your personal life. Okay, deal? Does that make sense? Number one, list how much you own and how much you owe. Again, you can't ignore this. You can't be blind. You need to know how much you have as an asset, how much you own, and how much you have as a liability, how much you owe. Then, step two, you need to save an emergency fund of $1,000. Now, we've talked to you about this, Redemption Church. We've talked to you about this. If you have built that emergency fund of $1,000, I want you to text me this week and tell me about it, and we'll celebrate together, okay? What is that emergency fund for? It's to give you a buffer between you and new debt. While you're trying to become debt-free, you don't need to enter into new debt. You also need to start the discipline of saving, and $1,000 is easier to save than you think if you'll get intense about it, if you'll get gazelle intense. Dave Ramsey talks about in his books, get gazelle intense, a gazelle running for their life from a lion. Get that intense about this situation. So list how much you owe, how much you own, save an emergency fund of $1,000. And three, going quick, pay off your debt with a snowball. Okay, so you pay off your debt. You look at what your budget is, how much you're spending. You find money that you can throw every week at your debt.
calculate work from least to greatest to build momentum. So you take all your debts, and I want you to put them in order from least to greatest. And I want you to start paying off the least one with this snowball. And when the money that's going to this snowball, normally add it now to the snowball once it's out of the way, and then move to the next biggest one, move to the next biggest one until they're all gone. Why not start with the biggest one first, you might be saying? Why not start with the one with the biggest percentage interest weight on it first? Here's why, because you need to build momentum. You need to see some good things happen. You need to realize you aren't a loser and that you can do this. And when you get to burn that last credit card bill, you're going to feel so good. You're going to feel so good. Am I right, Sarah? We felt so good every time one of those is gone. We're like, that was the worst mistake I ever made. Gone. You're out of here. Next. Oh, when you as that snowball builds, they go down quicker and quicker and quicker. And what seemed insurmountable will be gone, all right? So build a snowball, go from least to greatest. And do this, this is important. Calculate a day of completion. Get some math working. Okay, if I work on this, I'm paying all the minimums here, but I'm knocking all these off. What is the day zero where I'm debt free? Calculate that day, figure out that day, and then this one's important. Pray. Pray. And pray this. God, the math says I'll be free, debt free on this day. I want you to help me do it sooner. Here's what I'm going to just tell you. I'm not a prophet, but I believe in the power of prophecy, but this isn't prophecy, but it's in my own life. I'm going to tell you. Here it is. When you start obeying God, when you start becoming a good steward of your money, he will then bless you to do what is mathematically impossible. Sarah and I got that due date, and it was 14 or 16 months away. And we are baffled to this day how God did this, but we were debt-free in 8 months. Let me add to that. When you start this, bad things are going to happen. When you decide you're going to be debt-free, that is probably when your AC is going to go out. That is probably when you're going to need to go to the emergency room. It happened to us. We had cars go out. We had a little boy break his clavicle. We had all this stuff going on. But guess what? It didn't matter. God makes up the difference. Because when you honor God, when you come under his blessed management, his blessings that come, he said he'd open up the windows of heaven. He did what our math said was impossible. And I'm telling you, I believe God will do that for you. And then last, celebrate. When you pay off that last debt, you best celebrate. You will best testify. You call me up, we'll have a good time. We are gonna just celebrate, okay? You do that because I will celebrate with you. I know that that is God's plan for you working in your life. That is as much God's plan in your life as when you repented. And that sounds blasphemous for some of us. But no, God wants to be in control of every area of your life and bring blessing to every area of your life. So celebrate and testify when it is done. We have a video testimony of a family that did just that. Check it out.
Hi, my name is Lupita.
Hi, my name is Rob Cortez, and we've been going to Redemption Church for about 3 years now.
When we got married, we didn't have much debt. But after the birth of our son, we had several medical bills totaling over $12,000, plus credit cards. Also, I wasn't able to work, and Rob was the only provider.
At one point, we wanted a house, so we had to clean up our debt to get it. We started supporting ourselves with this question, do we want it or do we need it?
Since we are not fixated on the debt, we can focus on other areas of our lives. Our next goal is to increase the emergency fund to cover 3 months. So living debt-free is possible, and anyone can do it.
I love stories like that. Once you've paid off that debt, let me tell you, it can be done. You do not have to live like with a death sentence. It can't be done. You're not done after that. Once you've paid off that last bit of debt, there are some other things that you need to start doing. You need to start saving.
a 3 to 6 month emergency fund, because guess what? That $1,000 emergency fund that you have saved up, it doesn't go very far at the auto mechanic. It doesn't go very far at the hospital. You need to build 3 to 6 months, and we can talk about that. But also at that same time, this is where you would start investing and saving for retirement, to start saving for the future, to start saving to send your kids to college so they don't need to get a $33,000 student loan, all right? And we're going to be talking about wealth the Sunday after Easter. Easter is next week. Please come back. We're going to be hooping and hollering about the resurrection. But 2 weeks from today, we're going to be talking about wealth. That is God's plan for you. If you are squeezed by debt, then you need to know that it is not God's plan for you. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have peace. I challenge you to make a change in your money management, to come under new management. If you need help, I want to tell you you're in the right place. If you need financial help, you're in the right place. Yeah, you are. If you need somebody to talk to, you're in the right place. If you need somebody that'll listen and not judge you, you're in the right place. In fact, if you've got questions for us, you can text our anonymous line, 214-856-0550. And you can ask us anything. Anything about faith, anything about money. If you need to sit down and talk to someone, we would love to do that. I promise you, we have been in your position. And we have a lot to share. You can do it. You can live debt-free. Whatever it is you need today, and we're drawing to a close, Jesus is the answer for you. You believe that, okay? His word is the answer. Trusting him is the answer. If you have money problems weighing you down, where should you look? You should look to Jesus. If you have health issues, the Bible says, by his stripes you are healed. Look to Jesus. If you need salvation, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Look to Jesus. And if you're looking for happiness and you've not yet found it, look to Jesus. We told you at the beginning of service that we do three things every time we come together. We worship together. We receive the word of God together. I've tried to give you that today. The third thing we're going to do is we're going to talk to God. For you that know what that is, why don't you come and do that? For you that don't know what that is, we just open up this as a time for you to talk to God. You can stay right where you are, but you need to spend some time talking to God. These altars are open right now if you want to come. And if you want us to pray with you, if you want somebody to specifically pray with you for your needs, you just come in the first 2 feet, and that lets us know that you want us to pray with you. We have a God that we can look to, and he is the answer for us. Let's talk to him right now in this house. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, we know, Lord, that you are Lord over all. Lord, we know, God, that you are the answer to all of our needs, whether they be financial, whether they be spiritual, whether they be emotional, whether they be physical, whatever they are, God, you are the answer. We look to you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com, and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.